We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to another edition of Bear Down Ballers here on the Field of 68. I'm Ryan Wall, joined, as always, by Jordan Pollock. Jordan, before we jump into a wild and crazy game this past Saturday between Arizona and FAU, Arizona lost 96-95 in double OT. We'll get into that in just a minute, but how are you doing today?
I'm doing great, man. I've seen a lot of memes talking about like the weirdness between like Christmas and New Year's and how people just like lose tracks of the days. And yeah, that's definitely also where I'm at. I don't know if you're in that same place of feeling foggy between these holidays, because it's like still kind of have like a work week, but like for students, they have it off. So it's like a weird spot. But yeah, I think is it Thursday we're recording right now? I don't even know what day it is.
Yeah, it's Thursday when we're recording this right now. But Jordan, let's not wait any longer. Let's get right into it. This past Saturday was one of the best, not only college games that I've seen in a while, but one of the best sports games I've seen this year, probably. Arizona did lose in double OT, but this was really, in the end, it was a one-on-one battle of the superstars. It seemed like it was John L. Davis. It was Caleb Love, and they went toe-to-toe. John L. Davis for Florida Atlantic came out on top. He was excellent. 27 points in the second half, including overtime. 35 points, 9 rebounds, 3 assists in the whole game. Jordan, what were your biggest takeaways of this game?
I think some of my biggest takeaways were just, it was hard for Arizona during a lot of stretches to just buy a bucket. And whether that was open three-point shots that they would just miss, or multiple possessions where they would get offensive rebounds in the paint and they just couldn't finish. And especially down the stretch, FAU, it felt like almost every dribble drive they had and they got a shot in the paint, they made some crazy contested shot and either had an and one or just extended a lead again. They matched pretty much every counter punch that Arizona tried to throw back at them to get back in the game. And they took the lead quite a few times in the last few minutes of regulation. They split the lead both overtimes, I believe until the second overtime. And FAU just like responded every single time. And like you said, one of the big reasons was from Davis's 35 that he had in the game. He was just unstoppable. And sometimes you're going to have games like that. And I think it's really good for Arizona to match up against an offensive team that just seems like they can't miss any shots, especially compared to last Saturday or not Saturday, but Wednesday when they played Alabama. It seemed like their huge stretches, they couldn't buy a bucket. With FAU, they just played really well. They played really well all around. They had better shooting splits except from the free throw line than Arizona did.
That I kind of agree with that, Jordan. It did seem like Arizona just couldn't get into the flow of their offense during this game. They had a horrible shooting night, just overall 33% from the field for Arizona, 28% from deep. And yeah, when you shoot like that, it's going to be hard to win a game. And obviously, they did do enough to win a game against pretty much a lot of other teams, but this was a special, special night for Florida Atlantic. And it just seemed like they wanted it more. They were more aggressive. And their stars, their big time players came out. They didn't average, like if you look at John L. Davis's average for the year and Jalen Gaffney, they had more than double of what they're averaging this year. And yeah, it just seems like the past year, every big game, FAU, they come up big and they come ready to play. John L. Davis, like I said, he had 27 in the second half, and it wasn't just him. I'm going to get into Caleb Love in just a minute. He had 19 in the second half. So those guys came to play. But it seemed like besides Caleb Love, there wasn't enough of other guys on Arizona that were adding enough, production to get the job done here. Because Jordan, to rewind a little bit and start from the beginning of this game, Arizona started it unbelievably. This was one of their best starts to a game this entire season. They were up 17 to 3 in the first 5 or 6 minutes, I believe. So yeah, I thought I was really impressed by Arizona's start, but I think that they didn't their start to the second half was kind of the reverse when FAU took control and FAU went on a 20-6 run. So I think they need to establish and maintain that control from the beginning of the game, the start of the second half, and the end. It's all three of those to get the job done in these big games.
Yeah, for sure. And that's one thing that Arizona over the last few years under Tommy Lloyd has always been really good at, is coming out in the second half after Tommy's made adjustments at halftime and playing really well. And so that was another thing that was really surprising from this game of Arizona coming out and just in a way, I guess you could say they're kind of out coaching away coming out of half, where your coach is the one that's making changes and stuff. And so it's just pretty new and different, and we're not used to really seeing that with any of these Tommy Lloyd teams. And so that was a very big interesting thing. I think another big thing is so far this year, we've been super balanced scoring wise from top to bottom. And so I think it's good that Caleb Love had some good stretches, especially at the end of the game. That's kind of when all of his shots were falling, though he was still not super consistent. But I think this is one of the first games where one of our starters didn't get into double digits. Most of all of them have been pretty consistent getting to that 10-point mark, and Keyshawn Johnson just could not get it going. And as much as we've raved about him, this is just not a great game for him. Four
Yeah.
turnovers, only three rebounds, and six shots on the whole day is it. I think was probably a bigger thing than not, especially with how good our wings are and how good he is, and kind of where I felt like we kind of just could have owned that matchup a little bit better, especially with how good their guards are and how good Vladislav was. At the wing position, that's where you got to expose some mismatches.
Yeah, and yeah, we've talked about Keyshawn Johnson, how great of a job he's done, and I said he's been the MVP of this team throughout the season so far, just because of his consistency. When everybody else and other players are up and down shooting wise, he's always got over 10 points, always got, it seems like, over 6, 7 rebounds, affecting the game in multiple ways. He didn't affect the game a lot in this time against FAU. But Jordan, I disagree just a little bit about Caleb Love, just because I know when you look at the final stat line, it's not great. And a lot of Caleb Love's stat lines haven't been great this year. But this was a vintage Caleb Love game for me. And this was one of his best games I've seen him play in college basketball, just because in every big moment, every time Arizona needed him, obviously, besides that last one when he missed the layup at the end of the game, that one was really bad. But I counted four different times where three of those he hit a three when they were down by four with 6 minutes left in the game, hit another three when they were down by one with a minute left, and then in OT when they were down three, he tied it up with under 45 seconds left. So for me, he proved that when the lights are the brightest, he's not just a big name. He's not just the guy that's been around for a couple years, went to the Final Four. He still has it, and he still can be that guy that you can give the ball late in games. And Jordan, to move on a little bit and just talk about the end of the game, I was really surprised by that call at the end of the game from Tommy Lloyd. He gave the ball to Boswell. He passed it to Love, and then Love threw it up. It almost went in, but it was probably a 30-footer at least. It was really deep. I just question, why didn't they try to either set a screen, have Boswell or Love drive to the hole and get fouled? What do you think about Love making those big shots, and what do you think about Lloyd's decision-making late in the game?
Yeah, I know we were talking about that shot, and I think it was the shot that ended the first overtime where mm-hmm. Boswell took the kind of fadeaway in the paint. And that first overtime, the plan was to get the ball to Caleb Love, but they hard denied him for any kind of touch that they could get. And so I don't imagine that the Boswell drive was planned. But I thought that was a great look, and that spinaway jumper that he had in the paint, that was a great look. And I was kind of confused of why they didn't do something similar to that, especially with just – and the game overall was just called very weirdly, I feel like. Like, we had two guys foul out in Pele and KJ Lewis in the second overtime and the first overtime. In the first part of the game, they just like did not call any fouls at all. It seemed like the first few minutes of the game went by really quick because there's very little stoppage in any kind of play. Mm-hmm. And then they just started calling a lot more fouls in the second half. Like 44 combined fouls was a lot, especially with three guys fouling out and two other guys on FAU was at the four foul mark. And so I'm guessing that was a reason why they didn't probably try to do anything at the paint, but I'm just confused about that. I feel like if you're concerned about that, you want to put the refs in a position to make a call, especially late in the game, as opposed to just taking a weird contested 3-point shot. And maybe he just wanted to continue to ride out Caleb Love and see if any of the magic was still there. But Jordan, I don't think that's a super smart, even analytical kind of thing to do.
Yeah, but I was just going to add there, why wouldn't you set a screen for Love to roll off, get a little space for a three there? That just, and he almost made the shot even still. But yeah, I don't agree with that. And Jordan, something else we've talked about throughout this season is foul shooting and how they've done from the free throw line. This was one of their best games of the year.
It was.
They shot almost 85% from the free throw line, 22 of 26. Love was perfect. Pella, 3-for-4. Balo even was 5-for-7, one of his best games. We'll get into Balo in just a minute. He was excellent. But yeah, I really don't get that. And this isn't the first time that I've questioned Tommy Lloyd's late game decision making, play calling. I think that's an area he needs to improve on. Is late in games, it seems like the plan is just all over the place. It seems like they're not, like, at the end of overtime, the end of the second overtime, it seemed like you would learn from your mistake. Not mistake, because, yeah, I agree that maybe that wasn't the best shot by Boswell to fade away, but it was a pretty decent shot. I'll give it to him. But still, you should look to go to the paint and go to the hole, especially when Love isn't just a three-point shooter. He is really, he made a couple big layups too in the second half. He's really good there. He's good finishing through contact, drawing the contact. So yeah, I want to see more of a plan established late in the games, because that is a game that feels like that just got away from Arizona. It seemed like all game Arizona had a lead. Florida Atlantic in the second half was up by 8. Arizona was crawling back, but it seemed like they just let this one get away. And this was a very winnable game. And yeah, it's a shame. Arizona still is staying at number 4 in the rankings. Florida Atlantic moved up to 7. Jordan, what other who else on Arizona stood out to you and made an impact in this?
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
With everyone fighting for attention, how can your business stand out and connect with customers? Easy, with Constant Contact. Constant Contact's award-winning marketplace platform has helped millions of small businesses stand out, stay top of mind, and see big results fast. It's okay if you don't know much about marketing. Constant Contact's writing assistant tools and automation features help you craft messaging and say the right things at the right time. I use this to help write and send my email newsletters, and you should too. So get going and start growing your business today with a free trial at ConstantContact.com. Just go to ConstantContact.com right now. Constant Contact, helping the small stand tall. ConstantContact.com.
Yeah, I just want to say real quick, I think that's a great point that you made about Tommy Lloyd, especially over the last 3 years. A majority of these losses for this team have been mostly of games that haven't went down to the last possession. I think the most memorable one going to that point, though, is probably Princeton's last year. That was within 2 possessions in the last few minutes. And
they were horrible there.
Yeah, exactly. And I look at the game right before that when they played UCLA in the Pac-12 tournament, to where they did not look good outside of Courtney Ramey hitting his only shot in the entire game, a 3 to put them in the lead. And they were not good down the stretch in that game either. They just weren't as bad as UCLA was. So I completely agree with that point that they need to make better adjustments. They need to figure out ways to, and that's coaching to me. Like he needs to 100%. Do a better job of putting his players in a better position, to succeed. And like I said, we both talked about that Boswell shot at the end of first overtime. I would say probably not a ton of that was coaching, probably. Because it seemed like they're trying to give Caleb Love the ball, and probably a majority of that was just Kylan Boswell's instinct of, okay, like they're denying me, I got a lane, go to the lane, spin around for a shot, and that's something that Tommy needs to improve on, especially if this team's gonna get to the Final Four and try to win a championship, they're gonna have games like this, and I give all the respect to Tommy Lloyd for getting these brutal non-conference schedules. But this is a game they should have won. And this is a game that they were tested in the last few minutes in crunch time. And we see Caleb Love hitting shots. And that's amazing for this team to be able to have a guy that you can depend on. But in those positions, when you call timeouts and you have something set up for a game winner, you gotta come out and have something for your guys to be able to have a chance. And so I think that's just a really disappointing thing I think I saw from this game. And something that I think Tommy and the staff needs to improve on drastically is what they're calling at the end of games.
As you guys know by now, we've partnered with BetMGM Sportsbook for this college basketball season. We're going to be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks and predictions throughout the college basketball season. And we are going to have special offers for you, the listeners, and the viewers on the Field of 68 each and every week during the season. If you haven't signed up with BetMGM yet, use the bonus code FIELD1500 and you will get up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager on BetMGM Sportsbook. Here's what you got to do. Download the BetMGM app. Sign up using the bonus code FIELD1500. Deposit at least $10 and place your first wager on any game. You will receive up to $1,500 in bonus bets if that bet loses. Just make sure you use the bonus code FIELD1500 when you sign up. And remember, BetMGM is now available under one wallet in select states. As a New Jersey resident, this is super convenient for me when I have to go cover games in New York or Philly. When crossing state borders, just log into your existing account instead of having to create new accounts in each state that you go to. And most importantly, I got to let you know, we do have some fun stuff coming up for this college basketball season. Bet insurance tokens, college hoops odds boosts, my personal favorite, parlay odds boosts. So download the BetMGM app today.
Yeah, and Jordan, another thing is, I get Tommy is a younger coach, but we're now in year three. There, to me, the time for excuses and, you know, it's he's just building, it's his first year, it's his second year. That's done with, you know, because Arizona, they've won his first 2 years. They've won more than any coach has ever won in the history of this sport during their first 2 years as a head coach and winning the Pac-12 both years, going to the Sweet 16 in year one. That just sets the bar even higher, and that makes it so at this current point, things like this shouldn't be happening. Tommy needs to be better. The coaching staff needs to be better. But Jordan, before we move on, there's a couple other guys I wanted to get to. The first guy was Umar Ballo, who, like I mentioned, he made a bunch of foul shots, but finished the game 13 points, 21 rebounds, and he and also added three steals. He played 33 minutes, and he led Arizona to out-rebound FAU 52-39. That was very impressive. Umar was all over the boards from start to finish of this game. He did miss. It seemed like a gimme layup at the end of the game, but all in all, I thought this was one of, if not Balo's best games. I thought this is what you need to see from Ballo, and this is Ballo taking the next step in getting better and showing that improvement is that he's not just a good rebounder. He's an elite rebounder, and really just take advantage of that, because Arizona did get a bunch of extra possessions in this game from that. Just looking at it, Jordan, Arizona had 85 field goals compared to 72 from Florida Atlantic. So they had a lot of extra possessions there, a lot of missed opportunities along with that, but I was really impressed with Balo's play. What'd you think about Ballo, and how do you think he did?
Yeah, I completely agree. 9 offensive rebounds is insane. He played amazingly on the glass. I think he did have a few gimmies that he missed around the paint. But I feel like that's kind of been Ballo consistently over the point in his Arizona career. Is there's some shots that he just misses, and then there's some shots where he'll just outpower you and outmuscle you and get there and get a crazy dunk or a soft touch. And that's a thing I think that I really have noticed a lot lately is like I've played basketball my whole life, but the soft touch that college basketball and pro basketball players have around the rim is truly something that's very hard to come by. And that's something that Ballo probably needs to work on, especially as he goes to the next level after this year. And especially with Davis, like he made a ton of his shots off just soft touches that would not go straight in or airmail into the rim, but would bounce around and somehow find a way to get in. And so I think that's that's one thing that's, I think, been really cool as just a fan of basketball to notice a lot lately is just the soft touch that these guys can have around the rim and how much that helps them with highly contested shots of just getting it up there and having a soft touch to let it roll in the rim. But Umar Ballo played a great game. 21 rebounds is insane. Three steals. That's awesome to see out of a center. Only one block. That's the only block our whole team had. I think that's something as a rim defender you want to see a little bit more of. But they played pretty strict man that entire game against FAU and especially with Vladislav. I'm sure that was a big reason that pulled him away from the rim at a lot of their possessions when they had dribble drives. Those are some things I would say about Ballo. I'm kind of surprised they didn't try to get him the ball more in the paint, especially with there's a huge stretch where Vladislav didn't play after he hurt his knee. And then he did foul out at the end of the game. I'm surprised they didn't try to force more isolation with Umar in the paint.
I totally agree with that. And Jordan, the last guy that I think was a major factor in this game for Arizona that we haven't touched on yet that much is KJ Lewis. We talk about him. It seems like every show we're raving about him. He was excellent in this game. He did foul out, as you mentioned earlier, but 10 points, 4 for 5 from the free throw line, 6 rebounds, 4 of those on offense. I already think right this second, Jordan, I think KJ Lewis is one of the best guards is one of the best freshmen in the country. I think the way he impacts games, it's a simple thing to say is, oh, that guy doesn't look like a freshman or he doesn't look 18, but that's really true with KJ Lewis. He's out there playing big minutes late in the game and he really looks like he deserves to be out there. And at some points he is one of the most important guards for this team because of his ability to not only affect the game on offense, but on defense where he's a really good defender already.
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's Unified, UNIFYD, healing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24/7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Yeah, I completely agree. And especially if this team didn't have Pele, he would easily be starting. I think both of those guys have very similar roles. They're super effort-filled. They're filling in those cracks wherever they can, and they're hustling to make the plays that other people just quite aren't athletic enough and quite don't have enough effort to get to. And I think it's really cool to see, especially with both of those things, because both of those two guys are some of the most athletic guys on this entire team. And yeah. So I think that's really awesome to see. And I think that speaks a lot, I'm sure, to the coaching staff too, that they can get some of their most athletic and some of their best players to buy in on hustling every play, hustling every loose ball, trying to get steals, trying to affect the game in any way in any way they possibly can, even if it's not scoring, because these two guys aren't going to get a majority of the shots. They're not even going to probably get top three of the shots of the players on the team in the game. And it's been really awesome to see how well that they've been playing and how much they've been a star in their role. I know that's one thing that Bill Belichick always says, be a star in your role. And these
100%,
and these guys are going to be a huge reason why this team's going to be very successful going into Pac-12 play and postseason play.
Yeah, I totally agree. Jordan, all in all, just as we're now a couple days removed from this game, I just was really impressed by both sides. This really felt like a heavyweight matchup. Mm-hmm. Caleb Love, Jonnell Davis, two of the best guards, best players in the country right now. Jonnell Davis, there's just not much more that can be said. He is a superstar, one of the best players in the country. And that was one of the most impressive games I've seen by a college basketball player in my lifetime while watching. But Jordan, just stepping back a little bit, some might say the sky is falling, Arizona losing two of three games here at the end of non-conference play, but they still went 4-2 in their non-conference games versus Power Five teams. So I think that's impressive. They didn't get blown out of either of the losses. They were in both of them late in the games. This one more of a nail biter than the one versus Purdue. But I'm more impressed by Tommy Lloyd's ability to go out, schedule these games, go out and, you know, have these early tests for the team and see what it does for you as a group, because I think Arizona is going to get better from this. And as I said earlier, Arizona didn't move in the rankings. They're still number four. So I think Arizona's in a really good spot, actually, heading into conference play this week.
Yeah, I agree. I they're going to have pretty much a first two game slate to finish out December of playing the guys in the Bay Area and Cal Berkeley and Stanford. And those two guys, at least overall record wise, are two of the bottom three in the Pac-12. And Colorado will be their first test on the fourth. Even a majority of the conference teams outside of us, I don't think they've really played a ton of really great teams. Nope. Anyway. I think we're the only ranked Pac-12 team.
Yeah.
And so I think that's one thing that probably is going to really help this Arizona team is scheduling out this really great non-conference schedule. But you hope they don't I don't know what the word is I'm looking for, but you hope they don't get stagnant in Pac-12 play with some of the talent that exists, especially this being the last year of the Pac-12, and some of these rivalries are sadly going to end. And we just hope they don't get stagnant through any of the season and playing some competition that, especially from the national media's perspective, they're a lot worse team. Is U of A going to play down to the level of some of these teams, or are they going to play up to Arizona basketball level and just leave some of these teams in the dirt?
Yeah, and you mentioned starting conference play, and let's get some predictions for this weekend. They start at Cal Berkeley this Friday. It's tipping off at 8:30 p.m. Eastern in Arizona, 10:30 on the East Coast. And then on Sunday, New Year's Eve, it's 2 p.m. Arizona time, 4 p.m. on the East Coast. Both games you can watch on the Pac-12 network. Jordan, do you think Arizona starts conference season 2-0? Because like you mentioned, they are playing a 4-7 Cal Berkeley team that's lost to some really bad teams already, and a 5-5 Stanford team.
Yeah, I think they'll leave the weekend 2-0 with nothing. No nail biters. I think they'll be able to handle these teams, especially after some of the letdown that happened over this past weekend, especially late in game. I think they're gonna turn it around going into conference play and start off 2-0.
Yeah, but both teams, Cal is averaging 76 points a game, Stanford a little over 78, and both of these teams shoot it very poorly. They both shoot it under 35%. So I think Arizona is going to easily win both of these two games, get two more wins on their record, start conference play 2-0. They have two harder matchups next week against Utah, against Colorado. We'll get into those next time, but I want to thank everybody for tuning in to today's episode of Bear Down Ballers. You can follow us on X at Bear Down AZ Pod. Follow the Field of 68. And I'm Ryan Wall. He's Jordan Pollock. And we'll see you next time.
Everyone is talking about magnesium. It's all you hear about. But why? What do we know about magnesium? Well, magnesium is the number one mineral that 75% of Americans are deficient in. If you are a woman over 35, magnesium will help you rediscover balance, energy, and vitality. Magnesium supports more than 300 enzymatic reactions in your body, including those involved in hormonal balance. From functional medicine doctors to mental well-being and female hormone experts, we all know that magnesium is the one mineral to improve all aspects of well-being and health. But which one? Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers, the trusted choice recommended by leading experts, with 7 best-absorbed forms of magnesium to ensure your body receives the support it needs for overall well-being. Go to bioptimizers.com/balance today and use code BALANCE10 for 10% off. Support your journey to wellness at bioptimizers.com/balance. Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers, your foundation to optimal health and vitality.